This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 129. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike. I'm sick.
My name is John. I'm not sick, and I'm going to walk out of here not sick, and otherwise, there will be blood.
Oh, yeah.
I will drink your milkshake.
I don't know what that means.
It's a Daniel Day-Lewis line.
From There Will Be Blood?
He's talking to this kid about, you know, they're talking about oil drilling and he says, you know, you've got a milkshake, and then I take a straw, and I stick it over there, and I drink your milkshake, because I can. And it's a really good line. You should really check it out.
I've seen the movie. I thought it was boring as shit.
Oh, it is. Okay. I didn't like it very much, but I had to watch it for film class, and
I thought it was terrible.
That was one of the key things that I took away from
it. I liked him in Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
He had a good, as the butcher, he had a good line, a lot of good lines in there.
Yeah.
I watched some shows and stuff. What about you?
Yeah. I didn't watch any movies, but I watched some shows and some trailers and some news.
Cool. Did you watch Manifest? Because we hadn't,
Right. I watched the first episode. I haven't watched the second one yet.
I've seen both the first two episodes.
I assumed that by the comment that was just launched this way.
What'd you think of it?
I like it.
Yeah?
I like it. I'm not trying to be negative, just there's so much going on here. You know, we lost 5 years. The kid is right where he left off, you know, so the doctors can now treat him. Her notes went through the time warp, so they can now use her genome to...
And they took the 5 years since she sent the theory. It's now become practical.
Right. And they can do it.
Excuse me.
So we've got all that stuff going on. And then we've also got the aspect of these people are hearing their own voices in their head.
Well, is it their own voices?
That's what they said. She said, okay. I heard my own voice.
All right.
Saying, set them free. No, she heard something else at first. But then, you know, it led them to those girls that were trapped. And,
I have... So the play on the number 828, as in the flight 828, the Bible verse was 828. The girls were held at the junkyard, which was the address, street address was 828.
Yeah.
They briefly touched on, are they like chosen by God or something like
that? Right.
Based on that Bible verse and this and that. So I had worries that this was going to turn into a Jesus show, like God friended me. It does a little bit in the second one. They touch on a little bit more, but not enough that it makes me not want to watch it. As a matter of fact, second one's better than the first one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the third one, to the next episode.
And that's what I was saying. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just worried that there is so much going on that they're going to cancel it. I never know if it's because they're not getting the viewership or because the executives can't figure it out in their head, so they're like, I don't want to feel dumb, but... Shows like this that have, like, Timeless, you know?
Yeah.
Timeless was canceled after the first season. Then it was miraculously saved. And then it was canceled after the second season. But it's going to get a movie. You know, when it's got too much going on and it makes you think and it makes you like, whoa, it seems like they cancel them.
I feel like they had a lot of ground they wanted to cover in the first episode.
Yeah.
And then they take the second episode and they focus on, well, the brother and sister are the primary focus of the series. But they focus on other things. And you just have
grown-up brother and sister, or the twin brother and sister?
The grown-up brother and sister. Okay. Well, yeah, the grown-up brother and sister. The twins things. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's interesting. One thing that I really liked in the first episode that I thought they did well was they could have very easily taken the girl twin who's now 5 years older and, yeah. you know, has been to therapy and feeling abandoned because her brother and, you know, we're all missing. They could have easily made her the angst-filled asshole, but, you know, she sees her dad and she gives him a hug and she's like,
oh, okay,
no. You're doing okay.
If anything, yeah, even in the second episode, you'll see that she's like the one that's like, because we saw in the first episode, mom's talking to somebody.
Yes.
And the second episode, the daughter's like, you need to tell him it's not fair to either of them.
So she's the voice of reason.
Yeah, like, she's not the, like, the angst-filled asshole teen of,
which
you know.
Which is good, because I really hate that trope.
Yeah, you know, she's the opposite, actually. She seems to have a good head on her shoulders.
It's one of the reasons Castle's daughter was one of my favorite characters.
Oh, because she was so intelligent?
Yeah.
And, yeah, yep.
And stable, and even when she broke down, right, when she'd have yep. a bad day or break down over something, she was still intelligent about it.
Yeah, so. But, obviously, the episode ends with the plane exploding. Like, they're all drawn
yes.
there.
I was like, the second episode?
No, first one. They're all drawn there, and they don't know why.
Right.
Because now we say, okay, they're all hearing something.
Yes.
So, and that there's some interesting stuff in the second episode.
Yeah.
And disappointed you didn't watch it.
I'm getting there. It's one of those, I can't put it on as a background show. Like, I want to focus my attention on it.
You got to pay attention.
And this week, Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out, and that devoted a lot of my attention. So most of my stuff was background.
Ends a little dark, doesn't it, honey?
Yeah, I had to watch an episode of Friends before I went to bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second episode ends a little dark.
That's how the first episode of A Million Little Things was for me.
Like, I didn't watch that.
I had to watch something afterwards.
I'm not going
to
watch that.
How I cleanse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it, especially this is a show that wasn't on my radar. Ha, ha, ha. Because it just, hearing about it, I was like, yeah, whatever. But then when Kate was like, oh, I really like this a lot. I'm kind of hooked on this. I was like, well, I'll check it out.
That could have gone either way, by the way, people, because I like some really crappy shows.
She loves herself some Grey's Anatomy. I think that's a crappy show.
I was going to say, a lot of people would argue that that's a very good show. I don't watch it, but yeah, exactly.
She liked Nashville.
Everybody. Yeah. Timeless got canceled
she
twice.
She followed Nashville
15 seasons.
When it went to the Country Channel.
Only for one season, then I stopped. I just wanted to
go. It's canceled anyway. It's done, right?
Yes.
Finally. Yeah. Hidden Panettiere. Ugh.
Okay, so she's such an addicted to the show Friends, that an episode will come on and she'll be like, oh, this was this season and I know what happens in this. I mean, it's beyond just like recognizing instantly, like, oh, this is it's details to the point where like the music was playing and Wesley goes, oh, Friends.
I'm just thinking it's ironic that you're saying this stuff when I could show you a still frame from a wrestling match and you'd be like, oh, that was SummerSlam 1987.
I'm just saying.
Like, this was the top card. We've all got our things.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying that that's how much she likes Friends.
Okay.
Speaking of Friends, I'm going to go watch an episode and then go to bed.
Okay. Sounds good.
Enjoy that.
I will.
It sounds like it.
Anyways, I liked it. I think you'll like the second episode.
I don't want to put it on the background. I'm very much looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad the plane blew up, though, because then the focus is gone from the plane.
For now.
Right.
But there could be debris and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So. I did watch New Amsterdam, which last time we didn't talk a lot about.
I watched it as well.
I've seen both episodes now.
I have not watched the second episode yet. See? So,
You didn't mention this last time, so I don't know if it just like escaped you, but the doctor there that works on his staff, but she's like always off doing press conferences and stuff. Did you realize that's Martha Jones from Doctor Who?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw her and I'm like, she looks so familiar. Why do I know her? And then I'm like, it's Martha Jones.
I think I just didn't bother
in the David Tennant voice.
Well, you have to.
And she was a doctor in that, and now she's a doctor here.
That is ironically funny.
Yep. I do like the show. I like that there are different doctors there that do different things. Like, I really like the old bald guy.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. That was awful rude of me. But I like how he jumps on the old guy.
Yes.
Because he wasn't doing it right, and then the old guy proved him wrong, but in a very calm manner.
Which reminded me of, like, how you and I argue with people.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that is.
Right. Well, the first time she was misdiagnosed with this and put on this. Then she was misdiagnosed with this and put on this. Yeah. Then she was misdiagnosed with this, put on this. So, basically, if I had done what you wanted me to do, I would have killed her. Instead, I went back and looked at the root problem and saved her life.
Yeah.
And he's just
and
like,
he wasn't arrogant about it. And then he's just like, oh, how can I help then?
Yeah.
It was good though. I like the fact that it is he's not coming in because he fired the whole cardiac department because they have the lowest mortality, highest mortality rate, highest billing rates, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And then he keeps the one guy because he seems to care about patients.
Yeah. He's like, how come you haven't been billing? Because I don't believe that it's all about the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't you think they crammed a lot in there?
Oh God, yeah.
Like the Ebola. Just all the stuff that they crammed in there.
Yeah. It almost felt like they were trying to get an entire season and just to prove themselves.
Yes, exactly. There's like, okay. And then like, oh, they established that there's diplomats that go to the hospital there.
Yeah.
Because they have like a diplomat wing.
Yes.
And then they have the jail wing where it's actually like they're going into a prison to go to this section of the hospital. Like, the hospital doesn't exist, by the way. It's a fake hospital.
Right, right.
And if it did, it's like, that's a lot for one hospital. Why would they be suffering at all?
We also, in this action-packed,
there was so much in this episode.
We learned that he has a wife.
Yeah.
We can't tell if they're divorced or just estranged or...
He did something wrong and he's got to prove himself or something,
And she's pregnant, but then she almost miscarries within the very first episode.
Yeah.
And ends up in that hospital.
Yeah.
And like you said, hinted at last time, we find out that he has cancer.
Yeah. But you knew that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
That was my sick voice British accent of a girl, by the way.
There was a lot of stuff packed in. It's good. The second episode is good as well. We get more Tyler Labine. Because he plays the psychiatrist.
Yeah, is he just for kids?
Kids and teens.
That's what I mean, juveniles.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we get more of him. We get more of the...
I like the thing he wanted in the first thing. Can we have some fresh food? I mean, the food here sucks. Can we get, some fruit or something?
Yeah, it's not a spoiler, but in the second one, he's like, the pediatrics ward has candy in the candy machines. You know what that leads to? He's like, say no more.
Valid point.
Yeah. So he definitely seems to be the nutrition guy. But it's a good show. I'm enjoying it.
Nice. I did watch I haven't watched any more Maniac.
I finished Maniac.
I haven't watched any more of the good
The Good Cop. I finished The Good Cop.
And I haven't watched any more of the first. Because it's the Mars one. Yeah. I've had so much overtime, and then schools, and then now I'm sick.
Well, let me save you some time.
I had to watch some New Japan Pro Wrestling. They had a big live show on Sunday that was 4 hours long. I had to watch that.
Of course, yeah. Maniac, you don't need to finish watching.
I didn't think I did.
It's not that it's a bad show. It's just it's really dark, and a lot of it doesn't go anywhere. Emma Stone was cast in this role to smoke. That was the thing. They were like, you're going to be the angry girl who smokes a lot. They did have some interesting, you probably saw it in the previews, but there's an episode where she's like an elvish warrior and her sister is the girl that she's taking on a quest. That was pretty good because it kind of gave her some closure, which was the C-pill anyway, or confrontation. But overall, I don't know. You don't need to watch it. It was okay. It wasn't bad, but it definitely wasn't good. The Good Cop just kept getting worse and worse. Congratulations, Tony Danza, on coming back. Now, please go back. Please retire again.
I will say this. Someone the other day on Twitter made a comment about Brie Larson singing the song Black Sheep from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which then made me go watch that music video. That made me watch the movie. So I did watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World this week, and that fucking song is still stuck in my head. Which it's a great song.
It is.
But I didn't forget how good that movie was because I hadn't watched it in so long. Man, what a great movie.
And all the stars that you forget, like Aubrey Plaza and Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
You know?
And that are in it. And just, and then
Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray is the guy standing about, not Jonah Ray. It's, anyway.
Yeah, I know who you mean. And then it makes me go like, what happened to Michael Cera?
Yeah. Yeah, he can't because he did a bunch
of movies
that
for a while, yep. You know, and that was kind of the pinnacle. I mean, Brandon Routh, Blonde, was hilarious. I don't know. It's just, the movie's great. The music's good in the movie. The movie itself is really fun and just kind of wild, and I don't know.
I was actually, it's funny, I was talking to somebody about that the other day because they were like, oh, I just watched this movie again. You know, we were talking about what a good movie it is. And I was like, you know, when that movie first came out, I was kind of on Team Ramona. I was like, you know, yeah, Scott, go for the girl, you know, yeah. Manic pixie girl. And then the more that I've watched it and the more that the years have gone by, I look at it and I'm like, man, fuck Ramona. You know?
Basically, yeah.
She was nothing compared to Knives. Knives was awesome.
Knives was cool.
She was cool. She was dependable. She was loyal. She was honest. Like,
wasn't the stereotypical girl that's right there in front of him the whole time type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, yeah.
Knives was awesome. Scott was an idiot.
Yeah.
Jumping through all those hoops. Ramona was just kind of, yeah. Like, and didn't even seem appreciative of
Shady. No, never.
Yeah.
She didn't appreciate anything.
Yeah.
She was just always, whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know. That was just a fun movie.
Yes.
And the music really is great in the movie.
It is.
That is actually Brie Larson singing that song. Like, she recorded that song. That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
That's a good song.
It is. And, yeah, the music in that just, it blows you away because all of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, so the Ba-Bombs, the Sex Ba-Bombs.
Sex Ba-Bombs.
A lot of their music is very similar. It's heavy bass lines.
Oh, well, and that's the type of music it is, yeah. But it's
even the Matthew Patel fight, you know, the Indian music.
Gosh, yes.
S.L. Ick. Yeah.
No, it was good. It was just, it's a fun flick. Absolutely a fun flick.
Yes.
Trying to figure out when Kanan. I think
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans was in it. So I think I could probably share that with Kanan now. I think he's old enough. He's 12.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, I saw that and just made me watch that movie. That took up some time. I didn't regret any second of it. I'm not gonna lie.
Don't blame you. No,
it was. No. I needed some.
Good choice.
Yeah, to jump ahead a little bit more, I watched two other movies.
Yeah,
I'll talk about one right now, real quick, because it won't take me long. I watched that Jim Carrey flick, Dark Games. He's a cop in that in a foreign land. I remember talking
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I remember talking about the movie on here. It seems to me like it takes place in like a Bulgaria or Ukraine or something like that.
Okay.
And the whole movie's in English, but he's like, but they're like Russian or Bulgarian or Ukrainian or whatever. Anyways, and he's a cop trying to prove this, other cop and whatever just did these crimes and he can't, and there's a lot of sex stuff going on in it, hence Dark Games, because there's a lot of like sex games and all that crap. And
okay,
long and the short of it, it is friggin' terrible.
Mm.
Terrible.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Oh no.
Okay.
I watched like half and I'm like, this is god friggin' awful. And then I just kind of fast forward watched it so I could see how it ended. And I went, let me go back. Oh, no wonder it's got like 4.3 on IMDb, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ouch. So that was some time wasted.
Yeah, well, about an hour, yeah. I mean, I don't always go by what IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes says because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't always think they're right.
Right.
Everyone has their own taste. I'm going to go back to, and this is 20 years ago now, plus, the critics loved Eyes Wide Shut. That movie is still utter garbage.
Yes, it is.
But
Vanilla Sky.
Oh, that was
all the critics talking about, you know, oh, it's a masterpiece. Oh, it's magical and it's so weird. And it's
garbage.
Garbage.
Recently, the one with Black Widow, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
That big artsy thing where she like gets naked and walks into like this.
Oh, yeah.
Black area and the guys get naked to follow, but they get like sucked in and some art. Oh, it's so great, blah, 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 visually stunning. No, that was stupid. It was just Scarlett Johansson naked. And once you saw it once, I mean, you saw it. wasn't worth watching the movie
really
for.
Done.
Yeah, basically.
I'm just going to rewind this scene a few more times, and then I'm done.
Then we call it a day.
That's right.
But, yeah, anyways, I did watch the premieres of Family Guy and The Simpsons.
Oh, good.
Which I typically don't – I haven't been watching those shows with regularity.
Right.
The Simpsons, I didn't think it was anything special.
It didn't really feel like a premiere. It just felt like another episode.
The coolest part was the opening where they showed, like, they're all 30 seasons of what the family looked like, you know, counting down.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was cool.
Because
we had just talked about that recently.
Yeah. Bart lies that he died and that he saw God or Jesus and comes back. And then some Christian company wants to make a movie about him, which they do pretty quickly.
Mm.
But then he feels guilty about it and he confesses what he did and no one cares.
Right.
It's like, all right, well, you know, maybe after 30 years, it is time to age the kids. Maybe that would help make give you some fresh stories.
I mean, a couple of times they've done episodes where we look into the future. We've seen them grown up. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. Family Guy was great, I thought. Oh, my God. Brian meets the girl who's dying from cancer, and she has, like, 2 weeks to live.
Yeah. Stacey Wilson.
Yeah, and I love the, oh, you want to get married? Sure. I'll love you, you know, as long as I shall live, you know, until next week. And they just, like, assume, like, oh, I'm going to die on Wednesday because they gave me 2 weeks to live, so Wednesday's the day.
Yep.
They have the role. And I like the fact that you didn't see much of the other family in this at all.
Right.
Yeah, it was just Brian. Yeah. And they have the whirlwind love affair. And then, oh, she gets some good news. She's not going to die.
Right.
And Brian's like, damn, I think I married her for the wrong reason. No shit, Brian.
At first, it's just like, oh, wow. Like, I thought that this was going to be short. But then she starts like, oh, now that I've got my appetite back, I can start eating again.
Yeah.
And look, and now I can have my cats around.
Yeah. Yeah. And she gains a ton of weight, has all the cats, and is just kind of.
And then, like, her mom shows up, and she's like, what are you doing? Oh, remember you told me to move in with you guys? And he's like, oh, shit.
Well, that was before. And, oh, and that, and she's so gassy.
Yes.
Oh, my God. She farts nonstop.
Like 8 years of cancer farts built up or something. Sometimes, like, they're just sitting there talking to a marriage counselor, and he's just like, she's just.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then they're at the restaurant, and she chokes to death on chips. And he doesn't realize she's choking, and then he does, and he doesn't do anything to help her, and then she dies. But then at her funeral, all of a sudden, she sits up and, like, does that big breath of gas, goes, I guess I'm not dead after all.
That was like the last shot of the.
I guess they didn't embalm her. I mean,
that's what I was thinking. I'm like, what? They just grab the body and throw it in a casket?
So, I do want to see the next episode, just basically because of that. That looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Did you watch any other new shows?
Yeah, I watched A Million Little Things. I'm going to keep watching it.
That's the guy that kills himself, right?
Well, the basic premise is that there are these four friends, and they talk in the episode about how they met because the four of them were trapped in an elevator together. And they really had nothing in common, but this guy, John.
I saw that movie.
Okay. No, you saw the one with the demon.
Yeah. That was actually really good.
The John, the main guy there, I can't remember. The guy from Office Space.
Yeah.
He got them all talking, and it turned out
I was missing.
Exactly.
I love that line.
Ron Livingston. There we go. It even says in the beginning of the episode, guest starring Ron Livingston.
Yeah.
Because he got them all talking, and they all discovered that they're Bruins fans. By the time they got rescued, he'd convinced them all that they were going to go in together on season tickets to the Bruins.
Yeah.
And this is how they bonded. And then they got to know each other. But as the episode begins, he's, like, talking to somebody on the phone. He's closing a deal, and his secretary's there. His secretary, by the way, is Grace from Blood Drive.
Okay.
Again, it's one of those, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, man, she's cute. Why do I know her? Where do I know her from?
She dressed more appropriate in this.
Yeah, because she's a secretary. So, and then he gets done with his phone call and has a folder and his phone and sets them down and just walks off the edge of the building. And, like, the other three friends, you've got Nick from Grimm.
Yeah.
He's a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
And John's the one that convinced him to stop drinking. He hates his wife. His wife is played by Grace Park, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
She is the ineffectual wife, you know, the one where he's talking to her and she's not even paying attention. She's on her phone. She's doing work stuff. And she's like, yeah, that's great. I got to go do stuff. He wants to leave her. He's having an affair with somebody. So he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
He's having an affair with somebody and he says, you know, I've got to leave my wife. I hate her. But he has a kid who's like 8 or 9 years old and he doesn't want to devastate the kid. So he's trying to find the right way to do it. But she doesn't even notice. Like, we see her a couple of times and she's just, even at John's funeral, you know, she's like, yeah, I got to make a quick appearance and then I'm heading right back to work to, you know, to these people. And they're like, wow, you're a cold, unfeeling bitch, but it's what she's got to do. Apparently. The guy who played, Sean in Psych.
Okay. Yep.
He's recovering from breast cancer. Only like 1% of men get it, but he got it. And he's the person who doesn't do emotions well. You know, he does the snide comments and the sarcastic stuff. And he meets this girl at a breast cancer survivors group. And she's like, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, I got breast cancer. And they end up hooking up and he actually wants to try to do something with
it. Do you have to have a mastectomy?
They haven't gotten into that.
I'm just curious, like, only because, like, much, I mean, like, what do you, this is, when you have a boob that needs to be removed, there's tissue to be removed.
Exactly.
And you have a pec.
Right.
And you're a thin guy. Not
he's
much
not
there.
That thin in this. He's not fat, but he's put on some weight.
But still, it's not like it's.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, is like, is that how you get that big K? Like, I've seen that there's this bodybuilder who's basically missing a pec.
Mm-hmm.
And his chest looks caved in on that side. I didn't know if that was like what happens because they have to take out so much.
I don't know.
Or is it like a girl kind of looks flat now, but does a guy have
right.
a dent?
I don't know.
They, I'm going to Google that later.
Good. So he's got his own thing. The black guy in the group, when
it's
he...
Gotta be one, yeah.
Yeah, when he gets the call, like, I keep wanting to call him Sean from...
Yeah.
So when Sean calls him, he's literally, he's written out a note,
yeah.
And he's got a fistful of pills, and he has stuffed them in his face, and he's about to wash them down with water, and the phone keeps ringing, and he's like, he goes, what? And the guy's like, John killed himself, and he spits out the pills. So now it's a story about them trying to figure out why he would do this. Because as everybody said, he's perfect John.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that has everything. He kept everybody together. He was always happy. He was always doing stuff. One of the shitty aspects, though, is that by the end of the episode, like, they're all telling, you know, I was going to kill myself and, you know, I did this. Nick's character, he's like, you know, I fell in love with another woman and she's married and she's one of, you know, I teach guitar to her kid and we just fell in love and I'm going to leave my wife and I've got to do it. And turns out that the woman that he fell in love with and has had sex with multiple times was John's wife.
Huh.
Yeah.
It was a monkey wrench.
So it's a monkey wrench, and I'm not sure I like it. Because up until that point, it seemed like it was going to be a touching story, you know, and it
so
was like
John killed himself
grief.
For his friend.
Yeah. And I don't like that. But also, his secretary,
yeah,
she found the folder that he had with his phone, and she hid it from everybody. And then the last scene of the show, when we find out that Nick did this and this and this, she's deleting files off of John's computer. Like, she knew something, and she's trying to hide it from everybody. Huh. So there's more to it than just that.
I think this is the adult version of 13 Reasons Why.
I didn't watch that, but maybe.
Well, that's about a girl who kills herself.
And then
and she leaves tapes,
mm-hmm.
For telling her story and kind of blaming some people.
Mm-hmm.
This is your part in it, and then not blaming others. And it's like the big secret and everything like that. And then that's, I mean, but it's about teenagers.
Right.
So I don't know if that was
It could very well be. Again, I really liked this show.
Oh, really?
Except for the whole twist of, oh, well, the woman that I fell in love with is John's wife. No. Okay. A, having an affair is a dick move anyway.
Oh, yeah.
If you're unhappy in your marriage, do something about it.
You should end your relationship currently before you start a new one.
Exactly. And secondly, you don't do that to one of your best friends.
Right, yeah, I know.
That's just a dick move. The guy who saved you from alcoholism, you know, right. The guy who has brought you all together and made you all friends. You don't do that. That's a fucking dick move.
Yeah, it is.
So that part really bothers me, and I hope that they don't dwell too much on it. But, yeah.
I watched the second episode of The Good Doctor.
I did as well.
Once again, the preview misled,
mm-hmm.
you know, what happened as far as, like you said, how he overreacted and started yelling. He did that for a long time.
He did that at the very end.
He tried to deal with it at first, you know what I mean, and figure out how to deal with it. And I think, I don't remember this happening last season as much as they've done it this season, where, like, he's trying to figure out how he's supposed to react and he's trying to learn, you know.
No, it seems to be much more this season.
The last season was more about us learning about him and his interactions with people at the hospital. And now, like, we've established those. Now we're going to have him try to figure out himself. Like,
he's like this episode, I've been practicing lying.
Yes. Okay, so I like the opening when he's recognizing, like, the janitor, when he sneezed for, like, the 17th time. He's like, oh, what are you doing? How do you tell a patient that he's, you know, got terminal, you know, what is it?
Pancreatic cancer,
blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't know. Well, who? And he points to the janitor. He's like, the janitor? Yeah, Paul. That's his name? Yeah. His name, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like, how do you not know his name?
Like, he's like, why? Well, because he sneezed, you know, like 17 times, blah, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, Sean, that's not a diagnosis. And he's jaundiced. And he just stops. And the doctor turns to Melendez. He turns and he walks back. I love the way he goes, don't say anything. And he just walks by him and he kind of looks. And you see almost like House-esque things, like looking at his fingers and his eyes and hands and this and that and everything. And then he gets around the corner. He's like, all right, do X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah.
Don't tell him why.
Yeah. And then they introduce this character. He's an awesome guy. Like, as a character, this janitor, Paul.
Yes.
Like, he's a good guy.
Yeah. We got to meet his whole family.
We met his whole family, and he dies.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
That was. Because it looked like he was going to pull through. Like,
yeah,
they had
a solution. And then he crashed because the Whipple. I've heard them talk about that in other episodes of hospital procedures.
Yeah.
But, like, the Whipple didn't go well, and so he dies. And then they're in the rectory, and, like, brothers blaming sisters. Sisters blaming mom, saying we're all responsible. On and on and on, because, like, they forced him to do this procedure he didn't want to do.
Right.
Because he could either have lived, like, another year or two
without the procedure
or decades with the procedure.
If it went right.
If it went well. And it didn't go well because he had stage 3. And Sean, you know, says, oh, no, I talked to him. This is what he wanted. It was his choice. And then they're all like, oh. And then they all hug, and then they walk out. And she's like, Sean, did he really tell you that? No, Paul told me sometimes you have to lie to people so they'll hear what they want to hear because it's a nice thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
And he walks off. So, like.
So he is learning.
He is.
Kind of. In his own weird way.
Right. And then my one issue is everyone seems very tolerant of Sean and his. The way he just is so bluntly direct with things, like people that don't know him. Like,
right.
It's one thing for, like, the people that have established him, like the hospital staff, his coworkers, you know, people in his life outside the hospital. It's one thing for them to be understanding of it. But, like, the janitor was, you know, and you know what I mean? And his family. And then just basically anyone he has interaction with is just like, they're okay, well, you seem to have something wrong with you, but I'm going to trust you to work on me.
Yeah.
Trust your opinion. You know what I mean? Like, unless they all know his story because he's got minor celebrity or something from.
I think that it's just second seasonitis where they're like, we need to move beyond this part. We can't have everybody get hung up on.
Right.
I don't want the weirdo work, you know.
Yeah. No, that's valid. That's valid.
That's all I can figure.
And I mean, I was excited to see Leah come back.
I was too.
And I liked how, like, Sean was able to, maybe not rationally, but explain why he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Explain why he was upset. You hurt me. This hurt a lot. I don't know how to make this hurt go away. I don't know how to just, I don't know how I feel. And I don't know how to figure out how I feel. Like, he was completely perplexed.
Yep.
And when he explained that to Black Doctor Girl there.
Yes.
Claire. When he explains that to Claire, she's just like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then when he explains that to Leah, she's like, I understand, but I'm not leaving. We got to work through this.
Right.
You know,
which for him, just being able to work on a feeling is a struggle.
Right.
So for her to be like, no, we're going to work through this.
Yeah.
It's got to be blowing his brain.
Yes. Yeah. I still like it when he occasionally touches someone and he's like,
yeah,
you know, because that's. They don't touch people,
right.
Basically. And then, of course, the other two B stories is one of them. I was surprised they tackled this, but the female genital mutilation from a little girl from Nigeria and like the parents and all that stuff getting involved. Like, I'm kind of surprised, A, that that was a B story, because I just am. Because that's a pretty hot topic, and it's like, we're going to kind of cover it a little bit here.
Right. But just as like a side story.
Yeah. And of course, there's complications and this and that, and then the doctor does exactly what she was told not to, and then the girl's cool with it still.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little, that felt a little forced.
Yeah, it did.
Because the girl like wakes up and she's like, I can't turn my back on my parents and my traditions of my people.
Right.
And the doctor's like, nah, she's drugged. She's too tired.
But basically, the doctor's like, I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
I know you just told me what you wanted, but you didn't really want that. So I'm going to do it anyways. And then, of course, like, she's like checking the inside of her cheek with her tongue. And then she's kind of going like, yeah, thank you. My parents think I'm still, you know, all cut up and stuff, traditional like. But I can feel things.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And then, of course, the third backstory is Dr. Glassman is forced to pick a neurosurgeon. And so that way Cuddy can get in the brain surgeon surgery that he needs. And kind of how they end the episode with him is him getting ready for surgery.
Which... how do you think they're going to handle that? Are they going to let him live?
Well, all right. So I can't think of the doctor's name, but the guy that wanted Glassman's job and replaced him, he's actually already shown that he's a good president of the hospital or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when that Dr. Lim there, you know, works on this patient knowing that she's a minor who gave a false name and does it anyways and this and that, you know, he's like, I'll do what I can do on my side, which is he gets DHS involved, you know, and, you know, even in the first episode, we're learning him doing like, him learning to adjust to his job by like motivating people by stroking their egos or whatever and everything. And I don't know, I like him in this role, I think more than I liked him as the role as, you know, being the surgeon, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
As far as Glassman, I think Glassman's too, is a big crutch for Sean. I think getting rid of his character would force him to, you know, they're not friends anymore, but they are friends, but he's still sort of a crutch.
Right.
So, I don't know. I almost think they should just get rid of him.
Maybe not through death, but maybe through recovery.
Either way, lessen his impact on the show. So... I haven't watched the second episode of Lethal Weapon yet. We are recording this on Thursday. It's just one of the shows I haven't had a chance to catch yet because I did watch some, you know, alternative stuff.
I did enjoy it. That's all I'll say.
Excellent. Did you see the news?
I did.
Damon Wayans is leaving the show.
And didn't he sound like a whiny little bitch when he did it?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
Like some remote, obscure... I didn't even recognize the name of the news outlet. And they're like, oh, we're here on set, and thank you so much for giving us the time. And he's just, like, leaning on his hand. He's like, well, in December, after they get done the first half of the season, I'm quitting the show.
And that's how he told people. That's how he told, like, his bosses he was leaving the show.
Yeah. I'm quitting the show. Yeah. And he had this, you know... He blamed it all on them. He's like, I'm 50-something, whatever, 57 years old, and, you know, I've got a wife and kids, and I'm working 16-hour days, and it's ridiculous. You know, I'm supposed to play this character that's a loving, caring father, but I can't be a loving, caring father in real life. You know, my mother got sick, and I had to tell her, I'm sorry, but I got to get back to work because we were shooting. So, I'm done with it. I'm done. Dude, if I had been his boss, I would have been like, you're gone now.
Let's kill Murtaugh now. Now, remember we talked about last week, though? Maybe they'll get rid of Murtaugh and they'll replace him and we'll have a good show?
Yeah.
Because I had a hard time believing his grief over Riggs.
Yep.
Think they can bring Riggs back, say he faked his death? So that way no one after him anymore and
but
they bring
Riggs
back.
But then you've got two lethal weapons.
No, because, you know, Sean William Scott gets his shit together.
True.
And he's still, you know, he doesn't like guns. He's the straight arrow guy still.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you this.
Okay.
So.
Two lethal weapons. Jesus.
So, in this episode, all right.
It's like two Liam Neesons.
He's interrogating a guy.
Yeah.
And we've discovered that, like, where Riggs would run off and do things on his own because he was just a wild card and didn't care if he died or not, sometimes wanted to die.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott is just used to being a lone wolf. You know, that's how his missions went for the most part. So he's got this guy and he's interrogating him, and the guy's tied to a chair, and Sean William Scott's standing there, and he turns on a torch, like one of those creme brulee torches.
Yeah.
And he's got it going. The guy's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he goes, "You know, I've never actually had this happen to me, but, you know, when it comes to torture, I've heard that these torches," he goes, "they hit the skin so hard and so hot that it actually feels freezing cold at first. Your skin actually freezes before it burns. It's something weird in the brain." The guy's like, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about." So he revs up the thing and he takes a popsicle and touches the back of the guy's neck and he goes, oh my God, I don't tell you anything about it. And so then he walks around front and he's eating the popsicle. He goes, "What do you?" He goes, "Oh, I saw it in a comic book." Comic books are great, aren't they?
All right, that's awesome. I like that. I can get behind that. I can get behind that pattern of thinking.
Absolutely. I'll just breeze over these real quickly. The Gifted was good again this week. I'm still enjoying, with air quotes, Magnum PI, as in I don't hate it. The second episode had Carl Weathers. I mean, come on. Carl fucking Weathers.
How's he look?
He looks great.
Well, remember he had that big facelift where he all of a sudden, that doesn't look like Carl Weathers right anymore.
No, he looked like immediately. I was like, oh, it's Carl Weathers. MacGyver came back, and it came back awesome. Like, his nemesis was back in the very end of the episode, and it's a good show. I enjoy it, for the most part.
What's his nemesis' name?
Murdoch. Yeah. And I told you the guy that they've got playing him is the one who was on Gotham. He was who we thought was going to be the Joker.
Yes.
That kind of psycho looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does a great job of playing Murdoch. So
nice.
Did you watch the premiere of Murphy Brown?
I did.
What'd you think?
Eh.
I hope that they've got more coming.
Yeah.
It felt like, again, they were kind of pushing everything because they wanted to get everybody back together. I was leveling the same complaints against it as I was the first episode of Roseanne.
I felt like a mosquito was biting me in my forehead just then.
Oh, okay. You know, where every joke had to be based around the Trump administration.
Well, that doesn't surprise me based on this being Murphy Brown.
They are a news outlet, so they have to. And this is supposedly what brings her back into it, brings right. Frank. And yeah. I like the fact that her grown son is played by Brian from Limitless.
Yep.
That was cool to see him have some
Avery. Work.
Yeah.
He's his own reporter now. He has his own show at the same time as her and Murphy. Murphy kicked his ass in the ratings. The
yep.
Sound they went head to head.
Because he's on a Republican station. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
Basically Fox News.
Yeah. I hope that they have more. You
know? They even call it the Murdoch Network.
Yeah.
And Fox News is, Dick Murdoch starred Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I did like, we're in Phil's bar, and that was yes. looking good, so we got kind of the nostalgia there.
And what's her name there? Tyne Daly was
yeah.
back.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and she's Phil's sister.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of cool.
Miles was right over the top neurotic as was in the past.
I really liked the tech guy. When he's like, "Murphy, show me. You don't have Twitter. Why not, Murphy? Murphy, show me phone." And she shows him, and it's like an old school, you know, Nokia flip phone or whatever. And he's like, "Oh my God, I've heard of them." Yeah, and he it really opens up. You know, he's like, right, Siri, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you know, I kind of like that. The Hillary Clinton cameo was not necessary. That was
just really not necessary.
A, not a good actor. Or actress, and B, just not necessary. I realized they were running off the old pattern of how she always had different secretaries and fired them all and all, blah, blah, blah. But this was dumb.
Yeah, I'm glad that it just lasted, 2 minutes?
This felt like more like, instead of like a new episode of the first season, like kicking off this new show again, it really felt like Saturday Night Live comedy skit.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a pitch. You know? Like how over the top can we go to prove that we want to bring this back?
Yeah. Because if you want to talk about political, think about the return of Will and Grace. That also opened up with all kinds of political stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and with them even going to the White House.
Yeah.
So
you can make a statement about the current state of the world without being absolutely stupidly heavy-handed.
Everyone
you know,
wants to.
Frank walking in with the pussy hat on his head, and he's like, what? It keeps my head warm. Stop. You don't need to touch upon every pop culture reference.
Yep. I watched, we watched This Is Us.
Both episodes or just the first one?
We watched both episodes.
I've just seen the first one so far.
Okay.
$9.
Okay. $9.
Yep. Love that fucking episode.
It was great. I didn't get the annoying Kate that you were presented. Like, maybe I was just expecting it to be more. But I didn't think it was that bad. What was it that annoyed you about her?
Because, once again, she flip-flops to whatever everybody else says, you know. Toby's here. He's with her. He's like, you know, I'm worried for you. I'm scared for you. And she's like, you're right. Absolutely. I'm scared, you know. And she acknowledged it for 2 seconds until the doctor goes, you know what? I've decided to take you on. And, yeah, there's almost no chance, but let's try it anyway. And she's like, okay, yay. And, the look on Toby's face was the look on my face like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, we were in this as a team. And, no, now it's the Kate show again. Now it's, it's all about me because she said then she's like, oh, we're going to have to do this and we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And he dumps out his antidepressants.
Which he deals with in episode 2.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
Because we kind of saw that in the flash forward at the end of the last season.
Yeah, we was all depressed and sad.
Yep.
you know, I liked it a lot. We got to see. So when it opens up and we see like the football player and this and that and everything, at first I thought they were trying to say that Franco Harris was someone's
dad.
I'm trying to think of who it was, but it didn't make sense. Deja's dad. But I'm like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
This is too old.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny how they put so much so much focus on a fictional Franco Harris because of this football catch and everything, and then we see the flashback of Jack and Rebecca on their first date together and everything. And, you know, he's got $9. Doesn't go long. No one likes candy apples that much, by the way.
No.
My wife and I discussed that. That's what we came to the conclusion of. But they're like, did you see the game? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I kind of liked it because then it bookends it because then, at the end you see him going to his house and everyone's excited for Franco Harris, that is, you know.
Yep.
I thought it was cool how we got to see their first date.
Yep. And how there almost wasn't another date.
Yeah.
I mean, we know how things turned out, but, Jack shows up at the end. And I love listening to the announcer's overlay.
Yes.
How he's talking about, sometimes people fumble. You know, sometimes the ball comes to him and it bounces right off him. And sometimes it's got to bounce off somebody a couple of times before it gets into the hands of who it belongs with.
And we're seeing, like, this unknown guy show up at the door and kiss Rebecca or whatever. And Jack's just sitting there staring like, oh, man.
Yep. Blitz.
Yeah. So anyways, obviously we know what happens.
Right.
They touch on Vietnam a little bit and his brother dying.
Yes.
We're going to see more of that of this season.
We are. I thought it was really funny with Kevin and Beth's cousin. And they were like trying to hide it.
Yes.
Beth's just like, no.
And Beth's cousin's bad at hiding it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I also like the fact that the whole assumption is that Kevin's going to hurt her cousin and this and that. And in the end, no, Beth's upset because of what she thinks her cousin's going to do to Kevin.
Right.
You know what I mean? She even says, I love you, brother-in-law. You know, don't let the word get out, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to ruin my street cred or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But she's going to wreck you. She's going to hurt you, and I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah. Which is odd, considering what a train wreck Kevin's life is.
Yes. Yes.
So
I think she sees Kevin's trying to get his shit together, trying to get back on track, and that this is going to derail him again.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
So I thought that was good. I don't like high drama stuff. Like, I just don't. I roll my eyes at it.
Right.
I love this show.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because the characters are well done.
Not only that, but the drama isn't as big of drama as some of these other things.
Right.
You know, like what I just described to you with A Million Little Things. You know, it's bad enough that the guy is in a failed marriage and he wants to leave her.
Right.
But to find out that also he's sleeping with another woman and it's the wife of his.
Yeah,
that's high drama.
That's high drama. I liked Randall bringing Deja down to like Philly to talk about wanting to adopt her. And I like how she's just like, you drove an hour to try to tell me how much alike we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. And he's like, yeah, I did. You know, cause when he's like, cause he's trying to relate to her and he thought, I thought it would work, but it didn't work. And then, so she doesn't want to be adopted. And then later on, she like knows who her dad is the whole time, apparently.
Right.
Never goes to see him, whatever, because her mom doesn't want to. She just thinks she don't want anything. But then she goes to see him. And I love the fact that she goes like, they think up elaborate ways to say things to me. And it's ridiculous. But they take the time to think these things up.
Right.
So obviously they want me, blah, blah, blah. And all I want from you is this one thing. Apparently an expensive pair of sneakers.
I like the fact, too, with this show that they have consistently – this is the third season.
Yeah.
And they've consistently started each season
yeah.
on the kid's birthday.
Yeah.
You know, each season starts with the big three's birthday.
Yeah.
Slash Jack's birthday.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I like that as well. I like Randall when Deja walks in and is like – she goes, I snuck out of my room. What are we talking about this? Hold on here. You got me a yeah. present? It's okay now.
Yeah.
Like, I love how automatically he's like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, so we're doing this now? She's like, I got this. Okay. All right. That's for me. Yay.
So, and then she tells him, you know, if you want to start that paperwork,
yeah.
you know, do it. Because we also get to revisit, you know, what they talked about last season, which was her mother giving up the rights, and then we see the, you know, actually in court.
Yep.
So.
And we got essentially the same flash forward in this one, but
yes.
just a little bit.
We got a little bit more of it when Randall, one of his daughters, is adult.
And his like, oldest.
Yeah. And they're gonna go visit who?
Right. We gotta go see her, and she's like, I don't wanna. She's like, you have to. And then.
He calls Toby.
Toby, who's laying in a bed. Where the other side is smoothed out completely, like it hasn't been touched.
Big full gray goatee going on.
Yeah.
So,
and he's like, she wants you to be there. And he's like, all right. So, you know, but that's the thing about this show.
Yeah.
It could be that Kate's off feeding the baby, you know, or, well, no, it wouldn't be a baby by now. It would be a grown person. Or maybe Maybe Kate's dead. You know,
maybe Kate's in an institution.
Yep. Maybe they're going to see mom's grave.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know, but they definitely implied that, it was Deja, in my opinion, in last season. And now it literally could be anyone.
Yeah. Which I love about this show.
It's a great show. The writing's great. They make the flash forward of the flashbacks make sense.
Yep.
Season three, episode two of Philadelphia Story. Excellent episode.
Oh, is it?
Cool. Oh, yeah. Excellent episode.
This is another show that I won't put on the background. I want to watch the whole
thing. Oh, yeah. No, you got to watch it. But yeah, we watched it we ended up watching it last night, actually. I think we watched it. And I wasn't feeling so downtrodden from this disease, this sickness.
So you're going to get down with the sickness?
I'm going to get up. To get down with the sickness.
I watched a new half-hour comedy show.
Which one?
Single Parents.
I might watch that.
It's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's a group of single parents, and each of them has their own thing. You know, Brad Garrett's character is the guy who hangs out at the club, and he's always, hey, here's $20, go buy yourself something, you know. Leighton Meester's character, like, she just can't catch a break. Each one of the parents has something going on, and then they meet Taryn Killam's character, who's just, like, super mom, except it's a guy. And,
what?
Super mom, but he's a guy.
Oh, okay.
And,
I thought we were going Sweet Transvestite.
No. So it's kind of funny. It's got some funny parts, but I don't know if I'll care about it. Check it out. Let me know what you think.
Right. Well, I don't know if I want to.
Well, it's a good half-hour background show.
I don't know if I want to.
You said you were thinking about it.
Did we talk about The Good Place last week?
We did not, because we didn't have it on at the time. We recorded the night that it was playing. And we thought it was going to be Good Place and Superstore, but instead we got two episodes of The Good Place.
Yeah. So it's a fun season. He put them all, like, they're all back on Earth moments before they died. He stopped them all from dying. And then on their own, naturally, they just became shitheads again.
Yeah. That was the whole thing with the judge. She's off watching a show in her chambers.
She's binging like either JAG or NCIS or something
that. And Janet and Michael are watching. I got to say, these two episodes were great. The best interactions by far were Michael and the doorman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is that Michael Malley? Yes. Guts.
Yes. Watching him, especially when he brings him the cup and he's like, it's got a frog on it.
Yeah.
Look at him. Oh, he's a jumper. You can tell.
Yeah. And as Michael's walking, he's like, oh, that went over way better than I thought it would. You know, like, well, I was down on Earth. I saw a Pizza Hut and Taco Bell together in one store.
So basically, yeah, Michael saves them all from death, and they all decide to turn their lives. We find out, basically we see them all as shitheads, and then we kind of get the flashbacks.
Yeah, where they're like, I tried to be better, but Jason's story of starting a dance group.
My God. Yeah. You lose. Why? Because it's five people maximum, and you've got like 40 people.
48 people on the stage.
And he's like, starts chanting, we won.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. No.
And then every single other, like, you know, contest. And the winners are. And they're losing. And then the winners are nobody. Everyone's just qualified for fighting. Yeah, that was a bad thing. And they're all, like, bruised up or cut up or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, Michael goes down. And after giving them the push to save their lives, now he kind of gives, you know, Eleanor a push to go see Chidi.
Yeah.
And then when that works out,
he has to keep going back, but he's not supposed to. He's not supposed to interfere at all. But he like just goes to the doorman and he's like, I'm going one more
time. Still on that same paperwork.
He's like, okay. At one point he asks him like his coffee break or something. He goes, yeah, you know, well, my shift run, it's 4 o'clock. My shift runs till 9 billion. So
yeah,
I'm here for a while.
Yeah. I got you nice. Hot cup of what was it? Dark matter, whatever it was.
Yeah, I usually drink decaf, dark matter.
But you know, it's only 4 o'clock. My shift ends at 9 billion.
Yeah,
and then he brings a nice decaf. Yeah, I don't know. And then we see the bad guys or whatever. They catch on to the ploy of what's going on, and they send down what's his name?
I want to say Michael Scott, but it's not.
That's all I can think too is Michael Scott, but it's not him. Anyways, they send him down to be, another member of Chidi's team because he gets Jason to go to Australia and he gets Dahani, and of course, you know, her life is just
She basically like gave up everything and devoted her life to being a monk, and then
got recognized.
And so then became like a celebrity guru kind of. She was like, you know, you could give up everything and be poor, but you know, was self-centered.
Came back more obnoxious than she left
ever. Yeah. Chidi's putting together a thing for people who had near death experiences and see how, if they can change their life for the better. And they start this group, and it's going to be just them, just our four people, and then shows up
someone from the bad place.
Yeah, the one who came up and on the train the first time. And I know it was just minor, but when Chidi was, you know, he became a better person because he could make decisions. Blueberry muffin. It's going to be a blueberry muffin. And then, you know.
That guy gets, he got hit by a car or something. And then he brings him muffins. And the nurse is like, oh, you shouldn't eat blueberries because, you know.
A, B, C, D, E.
Yeah. And then now he freaks out.
I don't know if you noticed it. The name of the muffin cart was called Crumb from a Land Down Under.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that. That's funny.
Oh, I loved it because they're down in Australia.
Like Crumb from a Land Down Under.
Yep. That's awesome. C-R-U-M-B. I was like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
I'm so glad it's back.
Two good episodes starting the show.
Yeah.
Because I was worried about what they were going to do. And I like where they're going.
So there should be two more tonight.
Superstore's back tonight.
Oh, okay.
It is, yeah. Superstore's back tonight. The fourth. Today's the fourth?
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is.
Yep.
My days just kind of merged together as one big day.
You need a new job, dude. I've been keeping an eye, by the way, and everything that I see is one extreme or the other. Like, today I saw one that was, like, general manager for, like, you know, it was a pay grade 32.
Yeah.
way up.
Yeah.
And then groundskeeper for $14 an hour.
Yeah, I know. So, it's the two I applied on, one of them closed July 16th. I haven't heard anything back yet. So I messaged them the other day looking for an app, you know, status of my application. And then the other one closed like August 27th or something. I still haven't heard anything back from that one either, the Mayak one. But whatever it is, what it is. I don't think I watched any more shows. Did you?
I did watch Kidding, which I'm still enjoying.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like his dad and his sister, which, you know, we've talked about their established characters on there.
Yeah.
They are basically preparing for Jeff to go away. They're trying to come up with things like, you know, when you see like Disney on Ice and they've got the Mickey Mouse, the guy wearing the Mickey Mouse head, they've got a Jeff head. Because Mr. Pickles is going to go away eventually, but Mr. Pickles needs to live on forever. Everybody loves Mr. Pickles, but they figure that Jeff has a shelf life now because of the tragedy and everything. Right. So it's still very good. I'm enjoying it.
Did you see that they're doing a Mr. Rogers biopic and Tom Hanks is going to be Mr. Rogers?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. The picture looks great.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I mean, it doesn't look exactly like Rog, but, you know, it's cardigan.
And, right. I think he'll do a great job. Mm-hmm. Did you see him on the SNL's Black Jeopardy?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Laughed so hard.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Saturday Night Live's Black Jeopardy skit with Tom Hanks, go watch it. Because if you watch the other ones, the third contestant's either a regular white guy or like a black guy, but he's Canadian.
Right.
Or a black guy who's not, you know, really black. And they have categories like she thinks she... And then the girl's like, I'll take she thinks she for $200. She thinks she's so cute. Who is Brandy? You know, like that's like those are the answers. It's very stereotypical of things.
Right.
And then you have Tom Hanks' characters on there and he buzzes in and he's like this old guy with a Trump hat on and this and that and everything is like and he buzzes in something about like the IRS and he goes, well, that's how they get you. And you put your name in there like that. And they're like, yes, yes, it is. You know, it's hilarious because he thinks like them, and he's very refreshing. And I like it. He goes over to shake his hand at one point, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Oh, go watch it. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
One big thing on Kidding. Probably not this most recent episode, but the one. Ricky Lindholm is in it.
Oh, yeah?
And basically what his dad tells him, he's like, Jeff, you need to go out there and get laid. He's like, your wife? He's like, I'm married. And he's like, yeah, your wife has a special friend, and she's having sex. You need to go out and do this. And he hands him this bag of mail. And he goes, these are all the letters from women. He goes, we give you the kids' letters. I keep these aside because these are pretty graphic. And he's showing him, and he's like, you know, there's pictures of vaginas and stuff. And he's like, these are the ones where the women want Mr. Pickles. They want you.
They want Mr. Pickles.
Exactly. He's like, look at this one. It's 2 hours away. But they do this really awesome thing where when you first see Ricky Lindholm, she's in this shitbag apartment. And there's this guy, greasy, long hair, tank top, and he's banging her from behind. And she's bent over the couch, and she's just kind of like, She looks like a crack whore because she is a crack whore. And the remote is wedged into the couch cushion. So every time he thrusts, the channel changes until it stops, like the remote falls out and it stops on Mr. Pickles. So she's getting railed from behind by this guy and she's just watching Mr. Pickles. She's like, you see this glint in her eye. So then later on in the episode, you see the guy's walking out and she's kind of like sitting on the couch looking at Mr. Pickles. And then we watch this whole transformative thing where they keep panning around the apartment and things keep changing. Like she gets rid of the old couch and she adds an end table. And pretty soon she gets her entire life together. She has a dog. Everything is really nice in the apartment. She doesn't have the shit box old CRT TV. She's got a big plasma screen. She's gotten her life together and she writes him and she's like, you know, you saved my life. You did this for me. I was selling my body for drugs. So he goes on a date with her and he tells her, he's like, you know, I'm glad that I could do that. And she's like, you have no idea how much you did for me. You saved my life. And she goes to give him a kiss and he's like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. He's like, I can't. And then he goes back to, he was at the hospital the day before meeting cancer victims, you know, and they're like, we're going to die. You know, this one girl, you've seen her in other stuff. She's like, you know, I've got like 2 weeks to live. Fuck you. Life sucks.
Yeah.
So he goes and he plows her. Absolutely plows her.
A kid?
No. This is a grown woman. These are older people. These are grown people.
Okay, we see the cancer ward with kids and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, no, no. No, this is... No.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that would take a dark twist.
You think?
Nope. He plows her, and then he spends the next episode trying to figure out why his phone's broken. He's got one of those old flip phones, and he thinks that, like, it runs on AA batteries or something. Or maybe he can't get text because, you know, he's tried sending her messages, and she won't send him anything back. And they have to explain to him, she doesn't want to talk to you. You fucked her. That's all. It's done. She doesn't want to be around you. Huh. So, yeah. But Ricky Lindholm did a great job. I really like watching her transformation.
I like her. So, yes. As an actress.
Yep. And as a singer.
Yes. She has some good tunes. Any other shows? All right. I watched the movie The Darkhold. It's the Netflix original movie with Bernard.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Basically, what it is he plays this this Arthur book writer.
Okay.
Author. Jeez, I'm crow. Who wrote a book about wolves and these things that happen. And, okay, so I should have had this up so I could read you, like, the official synopsis from it, because I really need to do that so I can tell you just how fucking far to the right this story goes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, yeah, like... Like, it's... Okay, let me... I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. Hold the Dark. Not The Darkhold. Hold the Dark. It was on Netflix. Sorry. It says, after the deaths of three children suspected to be killed by wolves, writer Russell Core is hired by the parents of a missing six-year-old boy to track down and locate their son in the Alaskan wilderness.
Okay.
Sounds cool. Trailer looks great. You know, it's got
Alaska
Bernard.
Wilderness, so there's lots of snow, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even Liam Neeson's fighting some wolves.
No Liam Neeson's in this.
Oh.
Probably
would have been better with Liam Neeson's. Everything would
there
have.
Is. So he goes up there, and we hear the story from this woman. And it's actually Elvis's granddaughter in real life, the actress.
Oh.
Lisa Marie Presley's daughter.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And anyways, so she basically tells him how, you know, the wolves came and took my son. He's the third kid to be taken, blah blah blah. He's like, I don't know what I can do to help you, but I'm gonna try. She's like, oh, you've killed wolves before. Blah, blah, blah. And then he goes out, and then dad's away in the army in Afghanistan on a tour. And yeah, it takes a dark, dark turn.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't
want to say hold the dark, right?
I don't want to ruin it.
But wait, usually if you say hold the pickles, then it means don't put pickles on. So hold the dark, there shouldn't be dark.
Oh no, it's full of darkness. There's a lot of killing in this movie.
Okay.
A lot of people die. Very graphically, at that. The wolves don't have a huge role. Being killed has a big role in this movie. Yeah, there's a lot of killing. A lot of people dying. I don't want to ruin it. I want you to watch it.
Oh, okay.
I want you to watch it.
It doesn't... You're not making a good case for it right now.
It's just...
I mean, even your face, you're like...
Because I don't want to ruin it, so I'm trying to think of how I can describe it without giving away anything. But basically, you know, it says, after the deaths of three children suspected to be killed by wolves, writer Russell Core is hired by the parents of the missing six-year-old boy to track down and locate their son. Okay, and the Alaska wilderness. I don't know, 15 minutes in, maybe 20 minutes in, it takes its first hard left turn.
Okay.
And it's like, well, that synopsis is absolutely fucking nothing to do with what's going on in this movie. Because you find out straight away, like, wolves didn't take that boy. And now we're going to try, now the rest of the movie, because it's 2 hours and 5 minutes long, is uncovering what really happened.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. It's got a 5.7 on IMDb. I don't know what the...
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, but still, I enjoyed it. It's methodical. The story is, check it out. Sincerely, check it out.
Again, you're not... Like, I get that you want me to watch it, but you're not making a very compelling...
Just watch the damn movie, John. How's that? How's that for an argument? Just watch it.
All right. Okay, tell me this.
What?
Is this like when I said to you, you need to watch Mom and Dad so that we can talk about it? Or is this something different?
This is something different. This is like, watch the trailer, read the synopsis, and then watch the movie. And you're just like, wow. I didn't dislike it, but it definitely wasn't what I was expecting.
Okay.
You know, like, it's almost misleading. The synopsis and the trailer are misleading to what their actual story's about.
Okay.
You know, fuck it. Mom killed son.
Oh. Okay. Well, now I don't need to watch it.
No, you do.
Okay.
You do. Because dad comes back from Afghanistan, and shit gets even weirder.
Okay.
But yeah, but basically we find out, like, within the first 20 minutes, mom actually killed the son, and now she's gone. And now we have to find her. Dad comes back from Afghanistan after being over there on tour, and...
Oh, he's in a band?
No, the military.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And,
military has bands.
Just that's true. He's not.
Okay.
He just likes to kill people.
Oh, okay.
And then, like... You get the stereotypical, like, you know, indigenous people versus the police and not wanting to be helpful. And yeah, it's worth watching. It just takes a hard turn from what the synopsis and the trailer's about. And because I went back and rewatched the trailer, I'm like, this is misleading. Like,
this is not what I signed up for.
But no, but see, like, and I didn't dislike the movie, but it's just like, this is nothing what I was expected this to be.
It's like if they said that the movie was about a family having a nice picnic, and then 10 minutes in, giant ants carry them away. And you're like, this was not what I was expecting.
Right, right, right.
This was a picnic movie.
Right. This is not a picnic. You know? So, yeah.
Okay.
Just watch it.
All right.
My selling abilities aren't well. I don't feel good. That's what I'm going to go with. Got any news?
News and trailers.
Yeah.
That's what I got. You watch any trailers?
I watched just one trailer you sent me.
Yeah.
Rocket Man.
And the main reason that I set that for you was because, A, it's
Elton John. Yeah.
And I know Kate's an Elton John fan. I know you're an Elton John fan. Yeah. But, B, it doesn't look that good.
Look terrible.
Especially when we've got the Queen biopic
coming out soon.
Oh, November.
November 2nd. That looks great.
It does look great.
Even A Star Is Born, the fourth version of this movie looks good. One with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
That looks really good. So Black Mirror is returning in December.
Mm-hmm.
And word is, one episode, the viewers will get to pick the ending kind of like Choose Your Own Adventure style.
Yep.
Now, I'm not sure... Like, does it pop up on the screen and go, well, do you want to watch this or watch this?
I believe that's what it is, because they've done experiments with this already with kids programming.
Yeah.
Where, like, they boot up an episode of Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
And they get pick which villain he's going to face off in, and then they watch the whole episode. And then they can go back and watch the episode from the beginning with a different villain.
Well.
So I believe that that's what it is, okay. Yes. You get to pick how it turns out.
Well, I'm looking forward to the return of Black Mirror. I enjoy Black Mirror. So no.
It always gives us a good stuff to talk about.
Knowing it's December is really nice.
Yeah.
Did you see that they officially released the title and synopsis of the Star Wars series?
Yeah, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and it's basically going to be a space western that takes place after the fall of the Empire before the rise of the First Order.
7 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to get cameos or this or that or whatever.
I could see that.
Work Han Solo back in this somehow.
Yeah. I don't think they'll get Harrison Ford.
Probably not. But be cool if they did.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah. I like it.
Yep.
I watched the trailer, and I'm so angry with this.
Okay.
Holmes and Watson.
I watched that garbage too.
I'm so angry with this because you know what? I love Talladega Nights. I love a lot of the stuff that these guys
have done together.
Step Brothers. Don't do Sherlock Holmes.
No, not this way.
No, it looks terrible.
It looks very bad.
Oh, it made me angry to watch.
Sherlock Holmes, prior to Benedict Cumberbatch and Sherlock and the and then the Guy Ritchie.
Robert Downey Jr.
Sherlock Holmes movies. You know, okay, maybe you could have gotten away with doing it.
Yes.
But now the character has become so, I'm going to say beloved. Especially yes. Benedict Cumberbatch's version.
Absolutely.
And then even Elementary, the way yes. they handle it there. Yeah, this is stupid.
Yep.
Pardon me.
It made me very upset.
Yep.
They released second trailers, and I know you don't always go for the second trailers. I usually do, because the way I look at it, the first trailer comes out, and it, like, whets your appetite, but the second trailer is where you really decide. So they released a second trailer for Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
It looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
They introduced more characters. Spider-Man Noir was there with Nick Cage as the voice.
Nice.
It's not Penny Parker, the anime version of Peter Parker.
Yep.
Little girl. And Spider-Ham. Peter Parker.
Oh, wow.
The spectacular Spider-Ham is there.
Oh, wow.
And, like, he gets a lot of screen time. So
that's funny.
It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this movie. Released the second trailer for The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
I saw that.
I think that one definitely cements more what the show's about and the feel of it.
I found the second trailer to be less of a turnoff than the first trailer.
Yes. Yeah. It definitely makes me want to see the show more.
Yeah.
I liked how dark and twisted it all seemed. And then the little bit of humor at the end there when one of the aunts killed the other aunt and buried her in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like, she was annoying me, so I killed her and buried her in the yard. And you see her hand coming up to the ground. She's like, Zelda. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. New York Comic Con right now. And they released a teaser for apparently DC Universe's. I haven't watched any more of the Titans trailers, but they've already renewed Titans
for a second season. Yeah, I saw that.
But they're doing an animated series based on Harley Quinn.
Okay.
And she was swearing as well. She's like, you're going to love this shit. And she said fuck, but it got bleeped. But she's basically sitting there inside Arkham and she's like, you know, you're going to love this shit. And then Poison Ivy's there and she's playing the straight person apparently because she's like, they're going to hate it. They hate everything. These fans hate everything. And she talks, she's like, yeah, and it's going to have this, and it's going to have this. And unlike that Deadpool cartoon, mine's actually getting made. Ooh, nice little dig there. And then Poison Ivy says, it's not supposed to be happy. There's not supposed to be fun. This is a DC thing. Haven't you seen the cinematic universe? She's like, that's true. They do a good job on their TV shows and cinematic universe, but this is different. So
they're taking digs at themselves, huh?
Yep. So that's interesting.
I think that might come back to haunt them.
I think it will. Yeah. And then the last one, they officially released a full trailer for She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's definitely got the anime style to it.
Yeah.
But it looks like in this one, we start off with Allura is part of Hordak's army, and she's running it.
Oh, okay.
She gets promoted, and she has a friend there who, you know, works with her, and he's like, we need to stop all these princesses. Yeah. We need to stop. And so she goes out on patrol and gets knocked down and finds a sword, and a heavenly body talks to her and says, you know, you need to rise up and become She-Ra. And they definitely play off of she's two different people. You know, when she's She-Ra, she's She-Ra, and when she's Allura, she's Allura. Mm. And nobody trusts her because she's part of Hordak's army. And, you know, what Bo, their version of Bo is like, your army is literally called the Evil Horde. She's like, who calls them that? Everybody! But it looks good.
Orko in it?
No. Orko was in the other one. It was Madam...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. Orko was
what's her name? Madam... I want to say Madam Web, but that's...
Oh, no. What? No, I was going to say, what did She-Ra have? They had a little critter. And I'm like, no, wait, Snarf was in the Thundercats.
Yeah, no, she did. She had Cowl.
Okay, yeah.
The owl with the big ears.
Yeah.
And who's the one that you had to find at the end of every episode? Lukey.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Did you find me? Because he was always in the episode somewhere.
Like, yeah.
I didn't see either of them.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch. That's what I was thinking of, is the Lukey thing. I think it's definitely going to be like Voltron. It's going to be, you know, 20 minutes long, and they'll probably just rapid-fire the seasons. But
yeah.
Apparently there's multiple princesses here. Instead of her just having friends.
That's why it's the princesses.
Yeah, and each one of them has a special ability that only they can do. So, you know, you've got one that controls ice and one that controls plants. And
do they
form Voltron? No.
No, come together to form Captain Planet?
No, not that I saw. So Netflix is getting the Chronicles of Narnia movies, and they're developing a TV series. Amazon is developing a TV series based on the Wheel of Time books by Robert Jordan.
Oh, cool.
That is cool. They were good books. I this wasn't a movie or a show or anything, but I added it in here.
Okay.
Because I wanted to share this.
Yeah.
You remember They Live?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the glasses that would block out screens? Somebody's invented those. They're working on kickstarting them. So it'll block out your screens, your laptop, your phone, your TV. Huh. I don't know why, but I think it's a cool thing.
That is kind of a cool thing.
Maybe put it on your kids as a punishment.
Ah! Like,
wear the glasses for half an hour.
That's funny.
And then the last thing, and this is weird because I see so many different reports on it. We're getting a PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Yeah, it's coming out in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Fox is billing it as Untitled Deadpool Movie.
Right.
Most people thought, oh, we're getting a PG-13 version of Deadpool 2. But then Ryan Reynolds tweeted out a picture of himself sitting at a bedside reading a book in the Deadpool costume, and sitting in the bed was grown-up Fred Savage.
Huh.
Like Princess Bride style.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to be like the way that they introduce a tamer version of Deadpool 2, or if it's going to be a whole new Deadpool movie, but it's going to be a PG-13 Deadpool movie. And I think that that's probably to ease it into, to test the audiences to see if they can ease it into the new Disney universe. But it's coming out this December, so they've already got it. So that tells me that it's probably Deadpool 1 or Deadpool 2, but made into PG-13. Mm. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Neither do I.
They'd have to do some real selling.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Yep. That's all I got.
I bought a new TV.
Oh, you had been talking about that for a while.
Yeah, I bought a 40-inch TCL Roku TV.
Yep.
What I like about it is it has the one remote. The Roku's built in, and it's way faster than my old Roku box that I have, if you will. So during the setup process or whatever, you know, like when you turn it on, you come up to the Roku screen, and then you have three channels at the top. That's like Blu-ray player, Wii, and antenna, because that's what I have hooked to it right now. And you put it on an antenna, and of course, you know, on my antenna, grab 16 channels. And it does this kind of neat thing where, like, all right, like, say you're watching an episode of Chicago Fire, because that's what was on when I did this or whatever. And it'll pop up when you put it on channel 6 or NBC, it pops up saying, oh, you're watching this, da-da-da. And more ways to watch, hit the star button. So you hit the star button, and it jumps you over to your Roku, back to your Roku real quick, to the search feature. And it shows you where you can watch other episodes of the show, like on Amazon Prime or Hulu or Netflix or whatever it is, seasons, this and that and everything. So they kind of link it all together.
Which is good.
And then here's a really cool thing.
Okay.
If I plug a minimum 16 gigabyte, the bigger it is, the more time I'll have, but 16 is the minimum, thumb drive into the USB port on the TV, I have a DVR.
Oh, that's cool.
For live TV.
Well,
16 gigs will give me 90 minutes.
I was going to say, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And it's not our DVR. Let me rephrase that. If I'm watching like live TV, I can pause it.
Oh, okay.
It's like I'm watching just like the regular antenna broadcast stream of like channel 6 or whatever.
So it's not that you could set stuff to record.
No, I can pause it and go to the bathroom, do whatever, come back, hit play, fast forward to catch back up if I wanted to or whatever. But the 16 gig hard drive will record up to 90 minutes. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
You know, that's
now, are you taking advantage of that or do you still have to get the memory card?
I don't have an extra thumb drive I could use.
Okay.
And it's not something I'm urgent to do because I don't watch a ton of live TV that I'd have to record. If I'm watching it, there's a reason for it. But it's pretty cool. Just the idea that it's possible.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a little thing, but it's something that somebody took the time to think
about. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And, you know, going from the 32-inch screen to the 40-inch screen, wow, what a difference.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's much larger, so. But, my next purchase is going to be a soundbar.
It matters.
Want to get a sound bar for it.
Now, how are you going to go about that? Like, I know
I'm going to go to the store and give them money. They're going to give me a sound bar.
Well, I'm gonna there's different kinds of soundbars.
I'm going to plug it into the HDMI port.
Yep. There's soundbars that just basically have two little tweeters on them, you know, or two mid-range speakers.
Yeah.
There's some that you can get them that actually simulate bass.
Yeah.
Or they'll simulate 7.1 surround sound. So it's a matter of how much you want to pay and what.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I was just like, you know what? I think I do want to get a soundbar now because I've never had one. I've heard a lot of good about them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my next time. I'm going to look into those. I don't want to spend a ton. I spent $200 on the TV. So I'm not spending $200 on a soundbar.
I don't blame you. But I would, but...
it's fine. So, but anyhow, so that's where I'm at.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, so next week, probably going to have to record on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. We're a little busy.
Yeah, you and I have to plan out all that, you know, if we're going to eat beforehand or after. Or
well, doors open at 6:30.
Yeah.
Show starts at 7:30.
Yeah.
I can't leave till Kate gets home from work.
Okay.
She gets home about 5:30.
Okay.
So.
But we have reserved seats.
It's reserved seating, yes.
We're going to see the first show in the tour, the North American tour of Mystery Science Theater 3000 live, featuring the new host, Jonah Ray. And the old host.
Yeah. Which.
Joel.
So, it's a. What? I can't remember what the tour is, but it's for a couple months. But their very first show ever on the tour is in Portland, Maine. That just boggles my mind that they're starting in Maine.
I love it.
It's not some stop along the way, it's where they're kicking things off. And it's The Brain.
Yes.
Is the movie we're seeing.
Which is something that they've never done before.
Right.
On this show.
I've tried to look it up to see what movie this is, because I found three movies called The Brain. There's one from, like, 1984, and it's a Canadian flick. And then there's two others from, like, one's from the 50s, one's from the 60s. So I don't know which one it's going to be. I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited about going to see this.
Yeah, I am, too. And I don't know how they're going to do it, because it's live.
Yeah.
So I don't know if... they're going to, like, simulate the seats up front, you know, on the stage, and then have a big projector screen.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to sit in a booth off to the side or maybe up in the balcony. I don't know how they're going to do it. Or, you know, Mystery Science Theater will usually do commercial breaks.
Yeah.
But even when they went to Netflix, you know, they'd take breaks where they'd stop and they'd continue the story of what's going on around them. So, you know,
I don't know.
That or...
I mean, I would imagine the movie's probably 90 minutes. And then they'll have some before and after stuff and shit along the way. So it'll be a 2-hour show, if you will.
Shit along the way.
But I don't remember how much tickets were. But
$50.
$50. But I remember the VIP tickets were like $200 or something.
Oh, yeah. And those were the first ones that I saw. I'm like, I'm not paying $280 to go to this thing. And then they were like, oh, here's regular tickets. Oh, $50. I can do that.
Yeah. So should be fun. Should be a lot of good fun.
Yes. So we'll be seeing that Tuesday. And we'll probably end up talking about that on the... podcast.
Oh, I would imagine.
This is what we were getting at last week, though. So, like, basically what we'll be talking about next Wednesday will be shows that are happening tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
Basically. So we won't have a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, you'll have Monday and Tuesday off. So even if we pushed it, you know, we're recording on Tuesday, so... that we'll have, we'll probably have more then because we'll be catching up.
So we're not doing a full week because my work schedule is just not allowing it.
Right.
We're just doing what we can watch at the time. But it is basically still what we watch this week. It's not a lie. It's not false
advertising. That is true. Yeah. I mean, hell, when I fall asleep, I watch the inside of my eyelids. So.
it's pretty dull show.
Yeah, it is. Refreshing, though.
Anyhow, you can find me on Twitter. Hopefully next week I don't sound like this. I'm at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And, God, I hope this recorded.
Holy God.
Yeah, it's still recording. That's good. All right, thanks.
Talk to you next week.